Hey, and welcome back to The Production Specialist, a podcast series of personal accounts from individuals and companies in emerging and frontier production industries. I'm Lorenzo, and I'm the host of this show. If you're anything like me, you grew up wanting to be nothing less than a stunt performer. You get to jump from building to building, fight bad guys, run through fire, you know, all the good stuff. Choreographing and directing a stunt scene is no easy task. There are many moving parts, and it all needs to sync up and look believable. The Mission Impossible films have always pushed the envelope when it comes to insane stunts. I can't be more thrilled to have Wade Eastwood on the show. He is the current stunt coordinator for the Mission Impossible series, and has worked on other movies such as Edge of Tomorrow, Troy, and Interstellar. A stunt coordinator has many responsibilities, but the most important are creating badass stunts whilst keeping everyone as safe as possible. Wade, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, so really I got into stunts through just having the joys of a misspent youth, you know, just very into my sort of outdoor activities and extreme sports. And I was an athlete, you know, ran for my country in South Africa where I grew up, and didn't really sort of want to follow the normal route, lawyer, doctor, dentist, corporate route. Always wanted something different, couldn't be tied into an office building. So, you know, found stunts, and it just really suited my lifestyle. And I was always a massive fan of film. Grew up with all the American shows in South Africa, like The Fall Guy and Dukes of Hazzard and A-Team and all those things. So just grew up loving that sort of fun action field of work. And then a film company came to my local town. I'd been looking to try and get into the film industry. It was very hard to get into. It was a small industry in South Africa. And they came to town and asked if I would jump out of a helicopter into this river. They'd spotted a big croc there, and they weren't sure where it was. So they had some rangers looking for it in boats. But would I do it? I said yes. And the pilot had never flown a film, in a film before. Had never flown with guys standing on the skids. We had no wires on us, 500 feet in the air. It was all those sorts of things you would never do these days. But we're just young kids and would have done it for free back in the day. So that's sort of how I got into it. And then, you know, one thing led to another. It's, can you drive a car? It was always my passion. And can you drive a boat? So I had all these sort of what my teachers called useless skills. I could drive trucks, buses, boats, heavy goods vehicles and cranes. And I grew up doing all that stuff, and horses and bikes. And then I found this industry that they needed you to be versatile. And if you're versatile, you were valuable and you could work a lot. So it really suited my love of film, and also, you know, jumping in a car and skidding around a corner or drifting it, and then, you know, running and jumping on a motorbike or a horse or in a helicopter or whatever it was. And you could just apply your skills, your fun skills, to all these different things and work a lot. So it just really suited me. My first gig, that was it. It was, jumping out of a helicopter into a crocodile-infested river, and then crashing a boat, and then crashing a car, and then got blown up a couple of times and shot. And then as your name, you know, as you become a sort of reliable source, your name gets more known, then they give you more, you know, more opportunities and more work. So it worked really well from that side.
After 7 years in the South African film industry, Wade moved to the UK and LA, working tirelessly as a double for many leading male actors. Moving up the chain is what most do, and as a stuntman, Wade worked towards a coordinator position, which allows him to not only perform stunts, but create choreography, implement safety protocols, and cast other stunt professionals. Additionally, Wade works closely with the director to bring their vision to life.
Oh, stuntman's much easier. You just pitch up for work with your stunt bag, and you put your pads on and you go and do your stunt and you do it well, hopefully, and everyone claps, and you go home and have a cold beer and celebrate. Whereas a stunt coordinator, you've got the stress of the responsibility of, you know, everyone's safety. You've got to design the action. You got to come up with it. I mean, it's the way to go. It is great fun. But when you're younger, definitely just being a stuntman, rocking up with no responsibility, doing your job, take the glory, go home, have a cold beer and start again. You don't have to sit in meetings for 3 or 4 hours after work with everyone and discuss script and all that sort of stuff. But once you get older, you your creative genes want more, and you want to be part of the whole creative process. You want to be part of film history and create sequences that will go on screen, and you'll watch your work for the rest of your life, and, you know, hopefully work to be proud of. So you sort of, as you get older, you want that responsibility, but certainly it's a different direction. You know, and you get all sorts of coordinators. You get those that, you know, just do the job that's put in front of them, and you get those that are pulled in on jobs that need more creative input, that aren't like a polished script, where they need a lot of input, you know, where it says action scene to follow, you know, Bond, whoever it is, runs around a corner, action scene follows, and then we end up somewhere else, and then it says action scene follows, and you actually write the action and get involved in creating and writing the action. And that's the part I really like. I've always enjoyed that. I've got a very strong team, a great team of people that have been with me a long time, really good team, and so we work on everything together. I get involved very early on, before I bring the team on, with a studio, and we look at script and we start developing the script and write the action and get that in first in a placeholder. And then when we start the team and we start the sort of actual practical part of it, then we create the action in my workshop, and we come up with all, then we train the cast to do it all and go forward.
After having worked with Tom Cruise on Edge of Tomorrow, Tom brought Wade onto the 7th and 8th installment of the Mission Impossible movies. Hello?
Five.
Oh, hey Wade.
Five, Rogue Nation.
My bad.
Yep. So I've done 5, 6, 7, and 8. So I've done half the franchise now.
Ah, dang. My bad. Is there anything I could... Okay. Well, that was embarrassing. Guess you hurt the man. He's been on the Mission Impossible series since the 5th installment. Anyways, I always wondered what a stunt coordinator feels like when an actor performs their own stunts. Must be kind of nerve-wracking, no?
Yes, I mean, there's very few that do the stunts at the level, you know, with Tom, where he jumps from a, you know, where he can jump in a helicopter and fly it, jump in a plane and fly it, jump in a motorbike and ride it, you know, jump out of a plane, jump out of a helicopter, base jump, fight, fall, go breath hold, you know, over 6 minute breath hold with mixed gas. And, you know, so the guy is definitely an all-rounder. And it goes back to, again, a young, you know, when you're a young stunt performer. And this is what I always say to new people coming into the business, you know, if you're versatile, you'll be valuable. Tom Cruise is very versatile, so therefore he's very valuable. It's the same thing, and I think it goes in life. You know, if you're a one-trick pony, then you're only going to be hired for that one trick. Yeah, I mean, it's great. It's because he does train, so therefore he's capable, you know, and competent, and that's the big difference. If he didn't train, he just wanted to do his own stunts, then it would be dangerous and it would be, you know, worrying. But he trains, I mean, night and day for it. He literally trains nonstop. So he trains to the point where you wouldn't replace him with someone anyway, because he's so competent at doing the stunt. And then he brings, obviously, performance. He's, you know, he's Ethan Hunt. There's no one else that can be. So that's what we need. Yeah, so it's all very good. You know, it's worrying. Some of the biggest stuff we do, I mean, when you see the stunts in this film and 7, it's huge again. And 8, which is where I am right now, prepping a very hush-hush sequence at the moment, which is huge again. Obviously it's worrying, but we, you know, we do the right training and we have all the right training plans in place. And we get to a point where, you know, where the competency level is very high, and then we attack.
We also cannot not mention safety. A key element of the stunt coordinator's job. Back on Mission Impossible 6, Tom Cruise had quite the little accident. He kind of broke his ankle doing a stunt. Here's a snippet from the Graham Norton show.
I'm wearing two wires. They're basically just safety wires because I go at a full tilt and I'm sprinting as hard as I can and I hit the side of the wall. And that's the stunt. I hit the side of the wall and then I'm chasing after Henry, actually.
Unfortunately, it does happen. You know, there has been some, you know, some pretty bad ones even in the recent years of different performers on other shows, which, you know, I get called in as an independent person to, you know, investigate those a lot, just due to, you know, my experience across the board with different action and stunts. And you know, at the end of the day, we are stunt performers doing stunts. we get paid to do stunts, and we get paid more than the extras on set and stuff because we're doing stunts. So we sign up knowing that there's an element of risk, otherwise we wouldn't be called stunt people. We'd be called extras or background performers, or, you know. So there's always that element of risk. It's my job to negate that risk as much as possible. So when I investigate some of these other accidents which have happened recently, yes, they are accidents. So they, you know, sometimes they're slightly unavoidable, but the ones that I've looked at generally were all avoidable. It was either negligence on the performing side, on the actual person that got injured, negligence on their side because they did something stupid like locked an arm out or a leg out, or, you know, rotated in a bad way. There has to be the skill of them. They have to, you know, be responsible for their own actions. So it's either negligence on that side, it's negligence on the rigging side, or it's negligence on the setup of the stunt and execution of it by the coordinator, which was bad. But, you know, it is quite rare. I would say it's, as you know, like any athlete, footballer, rugby player, anything, you know, you get injured. You see guys on the bench, knee injuries, ankle injuries. That's your general injuries at the end of the day, because we are athletes. We are, you know, all of us are athletes. We're just in a different field of work, that's all. The project was halted for a couple of weeks, but geez, we needed it because we had so much work to catch up on. So we didn't halt. We kept prepping and carrying on. But Tom obviously went and recovered from that. And yeah, it was it's just one of those things. You know, we've done a lot of movies together and done a lot of big action together, like a lot. And, you know, you've always got stunt guys that twist a knee or an ankle or something. I'm touch wood. We haven't had any big injuries in my team ever in 30 years. But it's, you know, you always get those little niggles, especially as you get older, your knee or your ankle, your wrists, you know, you're hitting the ground that many times, something's got to give. And we prevent it as much as we can with rubber surfaces and things. But yeah, it was just one of those things. He just locked his leg out for that little bit too long, just trying to hold the shot, and just, you know, got a little compound break there. But it healed up really well, and he was sprinting across rooftops a couple of weeks later. And yeah, he did really well.
And that's why he gets paid the big bucks. Okay, but how about insurance? They must have stunt insurance, right?
Not really. It's very hard to get us insured. Not really. It's normally that, you know, the studios take care of you a bit, and, you know, everyone sort of clubs in, and you get through it that way, and, you know, they make sure that you're looked after. But you have your own medical insurance, yes, for, like, you know, physiotherapy and rehab. But again, the same as an athlete, you know, you twist an ankle, you break a limb, you tear a muscle, you do this, you've just got to go into rehab for a bit and get it sorted out, same as any athlete. The injuries that are unacceptable are those that are, you know, done by sort of inexperienced coordinators, and the busier the business gets, the more inexperienced coordinators you get, who set up stunts badly. And then you have young stunt performers who trust the coordinator and come onto a set, and they're told to jump or do whatever, and they trust it. Now, I mean, you've got to put some responsibility on that performer to have some sort of responsibility and some sort of awareness to say, right, well, I'm not going to jump 20 foot off a building to a concrete floor without anything on me, because I'm going to hurt myself. I mean, that's just common sense. But if a stunt is set up with a wire on you or certain things or mats, you know, these young performers aren't going to question too much, because it could ruin their career if they question too much. The coordinator could say, all right, you move on, I'll get someone else to do it. And that's the unfortunate part of the business, is always that goes on, and that coordinator shouldn't be in that position to do that in the first place. So, but it's very rare. Most of the people in the business are great. But you do need to have some, you know, savviness to you and some sort of common sense to you. When I started, that's all it was common sense, because we were still working out how to do this stuff. We didn't have all the fancy equipment that the guys have today. You know, we had to just work it out through getting hurt. And, you know, let's not do that hurt a bit, and we'll do it that way next time. I'll try that.
Well, there are many different ways a stunt can be baby-proofed. Wade will take us through a few examples. And just as a side note, excuse the following glitches in the audio.
Yeah, so when you're doing a stunt, depending what it is, you know, you put your knee pads, elbow pads, back pads, hip pads, shoulder pads, depending on the stunt. If you're doing some rolling out of a car at speed, you're going to probably put a hard shell pads on because you're going to make impact with a pavement straight away and roll. There's a higher risk if you're doing something that, you know, lower key in a sort of very thin costume or like Marvel style, and you'll use a gel pad maybe to dissipate the energy through gel if it's not a point loaded impact. So we've got a selection of pads that we use depending on what the gags are. And then obviously we've got our stunt mats and padding that also we put around the place and rubberizing the sets. So when you see someone's head slammed into a sink or a wall, we normally rubber that wall a little bit or make it a bit breakaway so that we know we help dissipate the energy.
Another person that Wade would work with is the prop master. They're responsible for all the props on set. Stunt coordinators will work with them to create props such as glass bottles that are made out of sugar or tables that are designed to break with a small amount of force. Things to create a safer space. However, the first point of contact would be the director or producer of the project.
Yeah, so I pitch the idea to the director. You know, in this case, it's like Tom, who's a producer as well as an actor, but he's very much involved. But normally I have my ideas. I do a pitch and we evolve it from there and it becomes a hybrid of something else. But yeah, I'm very strong on character. So the pitches that I do have to be very character based. I don't do action for the sake of action. You know, it's got to make sense. An initial idea, then I'll just pitch it. But if it's like the bathroom fight on the last mission, I shot all that. So I did it in a set made of cardboard boxes and tin foil as mirrors. And I shoot it with my guys. I shoot the whole scene, put all the sound effects and everything. And then I visually show that. So, you know, I talk it through and then show it to them. This is what I'm thinking. And on that particular scene, we shot it. They loved it straight away and we shot it as it was. But sometimes there might be little things we change, or we might change the whole thing. It doesn't suit the movie anymore because the movie's evolved. So, it's a lot of back to the drawing board, you know, a lot of the time. You got to just keep going and keep creating new ideas and keep pitching new ideas and, you know.
All right. We've talked a lot about Tom this episode, but what about actors that can't fake a punch?
Stunt double.
Yeah, just a stunt double then? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I want everyone to be able to do it. If an actor wants to do something, then we want them to do it because we can hold the shot longer. We can shoot way more subjectively. You know, we're not cheating the audience. If an actor really wants to do it and they're willing to put the time and effort in to be able to do these stunts, to get the ability to do them and the skill sets to safely do them, then we will train them and we will train them from the beginning. You know, we've been training the other cast on mission, you know, all the actors on mission. We've been training a long time, you know, Vanessa Kirby, Hayley Atwell, you know, Pom Clementieff, Rebecca Ferguson, Issa Morales, you know, all of them. We've been, you know, Simon Pegg, we train them from the very beginning and they come to our workshops and it's really great because it's hard training. So it's very, you know, it's very mentally and physically hard. But once you see them evolve, yeah, it's like a light bulb and they get addicted to it and they absolutely love it. And the cast of Mission they're all animals. They train like machines, all of them. They're incredible. I mean, you know, for all training, we do all the fight training with them. We go drifting, we go bike riding, we flying, we do everything with them. They just, they're very gung-ho and they're very up for it. So with those actors, there's a lot of actors that don't want to do their own stunts. And then we put a stunt double in and they do, you know, up to a point. We stop, we cheat the shot with the stunt double and then the actor carries on afterwards. But the ones that want to do it have to put the time in. If they don't want to put the time in, but they just want to do it to say, I did my own stunts, then that doesn't work.
And what about faking a fight scene? How does that work?
You use camera angles, you know, to cheat. Obviously, body shots, we do make contact a lot of the time and stuff, but headshots, we, you know, use angles to cheat it. Unless you're doing a slap and a, you know, for a certain, sometimes, yes, you do make contact. But it's, you know, a fight without a strong reaction, the fight doesn't work. You can throw the best punch, the best kick, the best slap, but if the person doesn't react to it, then the shot won't sell. So it takes both parties to do a fight correctly and just play with the camera angles and also play with a little bit of CG can help to extend limbs and, you know, extend things to make it better.
For all you daredevils out there wanting to get into the stunt space, here are a few tips.
You know, I would learn a good judo-based skill as well because it's a lot of falling on the ground. So you got to know how to roll, how to fall. So I think judo is a really strong one. You know, your Kyokushin or, you know, any martial arts is going to give you good grounding and good platform, boxing. And then you'll learn stunt skills. You're going to forget a lot of that stuff. You can forget a lot of your, you know, your stances and your very planted feet on the ground, because that's what your martial arts and boxing training will give you. You'll lose a lot of that as you throw your punches and extend your punches and kicks to Hollywoodize them a bit. But it's good to have a foundation so that you're safe and you're aware of your, you know, your proximity, your range. So I think any martial arts like that, but definitely a judo application too. You know, you do a bit of Brazilian jiu-jitsu, would mix it up.
I wouldn't do one discipline.
And we are officially 6 months into our podcast, 12 episodes and growing. If you'd like to be on our podcast, send us an email to podcast@blackdaggeraudio.com or message us on our Instagram @productionspecialistpodcast and let us know a bit more about yourself and what you do. Huge thanks to Wade for coming onto our podcast. He was sitting in his car on set of Mission Impossible 8 when I interviewed him. See more of his work on his Instagram @WadeEastwood. Catch you all on the next one.